Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You take out the fourth quarter, you're feeling good about it.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Looks like we're in a bigger mess now than we were when Tom Jurich left. And that's not what we should have been.
And James Strebel.
If you see Lottie Stockwell around, just give her a high five. Give her an L's up. And so she's here, right here, right now.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I was a Satterfield fan, but I'm beginning to turn against them. This conservative calling, man, is getting on my nerves.
Okay, Jesse, I appreciate the call. Listen, I'm sorry, guys. Look, we got to be smarter than this. Like, all of us, everyone.
All right, 5 o'clock hour, as always, presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors, Cox'sLouisville.com, all the beer, wine, spirits, premium cigars, that great craft beer selection at the Evergreen locations. That good bourbon. Did you drink any bourbon over the weekend?
I didn't. I stuck to beer.
You stuck to beer?
I just stuck to beer, yes.
Look at
yes.
you.
I just stuck to beer all
Look
weekend
at you.
Long.
I'm shocked
yeah.
by that.
I am too. I guess I wanted to...
I ventured.
Just like kind of enjoy my night without getting like too blasted. You know what I mean?
Speaking of, Strebel's dad. Did you hear Strebel's dad?
Oh, he got this bourbon.
In?
I haven't heard this yet.
Oh, you haven't heard it yet? Is it in the... Is it? If you didn't cut it, I assume nobody else did. Okay.
Right. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
That's how it works. I got... The UK postgame will be tonight and tomorrow morning is what I'm going to get
there
to.
There you go. I know you had a full plate.
Man. So much to listen to, and I didn't have as much time as I normally do.
Well, understand.
Do you want to do it right now? Do you want to play your medley right now?
Yeah, we can do that.
How long is the medley?
About 4 minutes.
Okay, about and 4 minutes.
Blankenbaker just walked by.
What's Blank doing?
I don't know. He went back there. Maybe he'll hear it as he walks over.
Blank today wasn't. I mean, he was just exasperated. And I agree. We're talking. I mean, the Louisville front seven is just not good enough. And then we haven't got to this. I'll say his name. Salah Brown from Mail?
Oh, yeah, yeah, from Mail. Yeah, yeah. Was that Kentucky.
Was that Kentucky tweeting out and stuff?
He's in that golf cart zipping around doing his little visit. he's tweeting at Vince Merrow. He's tweeting at Stoops.
Are they going to Derek Willis him?
I don't know.
Louisville doesn't want him, so, I mean,
it's Louisville's clear. Coaches don't want him.
Yeah, I mean,
the fans do.
Satterfield's great with the defense, you know, the front
Yeah, he didn't need any dudes. He didn't need any four stars.
He doesn't need anybody. No. He's good to go.
He'll go to the transfer portal.
Jack. Yeah. How do you feel about this? You were listening to all this sound from the weekend.
I think it's good.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Nothing else. All right.
It plays a bunch of funny sounds, so let's go. Let's do it.
They are coming home, Cardinal Stadium. We got the alley vibes rolling finally back again. We got that undefeated at home with the alley open.
Oh, no. Isaac, thanks for waiting. Welcome into your Millville Iowa postgame show. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Terrible. We're going to look back on this one knowing that this was the moment where somebody got fired.
Oh.
I think basically what I'm predicting here between now and the end of this postgame show that we are about to do is that we are going to have a debate not about whether anyone needs to go, but who. Rush somebody. Tackle somebody. For God's sake, if they sucked at year three, then fire everybody. Like, what do you want?
Man, I'm with you. If I got to start a GoFundMe to make it happen, let's do it. We'll shoot.
But I don't think there's any one of you or this person talking to you through this microphone and in your radio right now that wants to hear him say, wow, what a super fun, great game that was. To hell with that, dude. Little people around here tired of losing.
He acts like it's a crime to beat a team by three touchdowns. And I don't understand it. So I guess when I look at things, I mean, that 3-4 defense and this style of football is like the pack line version of football right now.
But yeah, I don't know. And it was just a pathetic showing by our defense.
You got to fire Coach Brown. I love him to death, but it looked like Peter Sermon out there. I mean, the coaching that those guys had were absolutely ridiculous
with this game.
I think the defense did enough.
Don't
you know, we held, Virginia underneath their scoring average. The offense needed to get a first down when we had those two straight three and outs.
There's some truth to that.
Crunch time when we needed to get a first down. That offense didn't go do it.
Harold, come on. Even if you, every single time you punted with the lead, and then you got the ball back without the lead. That's not the offense. Like, come on.
Looks like we're in a bigger mess now than we were when Tom Jurich left, and that's not what we should have been. This all has to go back to Vince Tyree. And, you know, this is his first football coaching hire, and for him to whiff on this, it's a reflection on him.
That is the worst coaching performance I've ever seen in my entire life. One, Scott Satterfield supposed to be fired. Two, Brian Brown should never step on a football field again. That is the worst coaching performance I've ever seen.
All right.
It's wow. Not.
Louisville fans don't do this.
It's not the worst ever.
We sell our souls and we get victories. Scott.
Ooh, wow.
That's what we do. It's the history of this place. We have an ethos. Figure
yes.
it out. They're doing enough on the offensive end. If they got basic defense, if Louisville got the average defense of every team in the country, they'd be either 6-0 or 5-1.
Is Brian fired, or, like, that was the most embarrassing coaching performance I've ever seen. Like, one, he doesn't even deserve to wear a Louisville shirt to begin with. And then you can put Satterfield in there, too.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, man. It's just not a good fit, man. It's not. And I don't got confidence that it's going to work. And we all know who we need to go get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what this reminds me of. Now, this reminds me of a high school relationship where a guy who likes a girl and the girl likes a guy, but for some reason they won't get together. They know they're the fit together. They know they're going to be great together.
Talking about Brom and Louisville?
Yeah. I'm talking about Brom and Louisville. Like, they know what it is. They both know. Brom's at his feeling at Purdue.
He's back.
You know, Drew Brees is walking through that door.
We're about to get to some Curran sound here. That was all Ennis. It was good, Jack. Too much Ennis. We need some Curran.
A little Curran in there. Tell us
little Nicky C.
How good they are. It's okay.
Yeah, I tried because I wanted to keep it from being too long. I was trying to keep it to mainly post game show.
I've listened to a lot of Mark Ennis post game shows that may have been the angriest that I've heard him, because during the Petrino crash is more just like resignation and he's just fed up. He was mad Saturday.
By the way, Sevier Wheeler twisted an ankle at practice today.
Oh, did
the
he?
Practice was open to the media.
Oh, okay.
Today they did like 30 minutes or whatever,
right,
for the media.
And of
That's
course.
Just an FYI. I saw that about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
I think it was your boy Jerry Tipton was there.
Oh, little Tipton. All
little
right.
Jerry Tipton, I
like that.
And I'm sure you do.
Newsman. There's a newsman at practice.
Well,
he had to collect the news.
Do. That's
damn
what
right.
Journalists do.
Damn right.
He's
People
a journalist.
Are talking about the rankings, like where the defense ranks. I get it. But you've had to play Ole Miss. You've had to play UCF. You've had to play Wake Forest. Those are three really good offenses.
And one of them, honestly, they should have won against Wake Forest.
They should have won. They should have beaten Wake Forest.
Pat.
They also played EKU.
Yeah, EKU's in there too. Pat was also kind of like on edge yesterday with Curran.
He was.
His mom scolded Curran. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that either.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Pat's mom texted in. Is like, tell him to stop being positive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, she took Curran to task.
All right,
you lost the game largely because of the defense in the fourth quarter, so the defense is going to take the heat, and rightfully so. But they played really well for three quarters yesterday.
But it's four-quarter game. That's
it is a four-quarter game.
You have over 500 yards the last two games.
You can fix that.
Oh, God.
You can fix it. There's adjustments you need in the play calling in the fourth quarter. I don't think it needs to be a complete overhaul.
Jack's just looking at us.
I know. Jack doesn't know what to do.
Scribble's exasperated right now. He doesn't know what to say.
I don't.
Look,
Let's get into the 5
all right, let's go.
Hour.
Let's go. All right.
I want to reiterate a couple of the things. One Kentucky thing I want you to chew on.
All right.
And that is, can we make a deal this week with Kentucky that if I talk about Kentucky not dominating Georgia, because now Kentucky fans are going to get really sensitive to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've already picked it up the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Even though, again, I picked them to win against LSU.
We all did.
Not in the thoroughly dominating performance. I didn't believe that LSU would play for Ed Orgeron. I just thought it'd be a better game than it was.
Right.
So I got into way more points. I mean, to think that the quarterback at Kentucky was going to put up that performance, 5 touchdowns.
Put up 42 points.
I believe doesn't happen
right.
to Kentucky football. So, yes, I was way wrong on that one. But if I talk about them losing on Saturday, I'm not dismissing what they've done thus far.
Oh, understandable. Okay. I think that's a fair position to take. Yeah,
depending on what happens Saturday, that will – and I'm hoping to come in here. If they win, everyone's going to have the same take.
We know what's okay? going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
If they lose, I'm hoping we have some sort of difference in our opinion if they lose. And I don't know how I'm going to react if they lose. Again, that's not diminishing anything that Kentucky has done. So I want you to think about that for a second, some Kentucky things as injuries pile up there. On the Louisville side, I opened the show today, 437-9680. I'll give you some of the same stuff, a couple added items today, and this is one of those days where I feel like Louisville fans are going to agree with me. I don't really care if they agree with me or not, by the way,
mm-hmm.
But this is one of those days, you said it at 3:30, that they probably agree with me. I always smile when people who think that I'm giving a hot take, even though it's an obvious take,
right,
beat me over the head, but then when they feel the same as me,
they welcome you.
They welcome me in, and
yeah.
they praise me.
They like your takes all of a sudden.
And I always find that to be funny,
yeah.
whether it be on the radio, text line, social media, Twitter, whatever it is. The game itself, we haven't got into that too much. So, like, I don't know, this is like Jack loves these things. Jack,
yes.
If you saw the game, because I don't know where you were in your bender in Mexico, climbing walls, authorities chasing you.
Being arrested.
Yeah.
Mexican ladies of the night.
You know. Sat on a woman. You
did.
That happened, the revolting blob.
Yeah.
Again, anyone has
he had on a mask.
No idea what that means.
You've never seen Billy Madison.
I have
seen Billy Madison.
Oh, yes, you have?
I don't know.
You don't know the revolting blob.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm stunned by that.
I am too.
Billy Madison's a great movie.
It is a great movie. I mean, not putting the ball in Malik's hand in a couple different instances.
Yeah.
The defense is a mess. Some of it's scheme. A lot of it is players, and we can get into that. But for me, I'm trying to step back of the week-to-week thing for a second. And I'm really struggling here. This show, I have tried to be as fair to Scott Satterfield. Striebel hasn't, you know,
no,
a
lot
of times.
Andy has.
But I've tried my best. This hasn't been a fire Scott Satterfield show. Now, it hasn't been a bend the knee to Scott Satterfield show after they had that win against Central Florida. The thought, in my opinion, was, hey, maybe now they got a chance, but I wasn't predicting that they were going to go win a bunch of games. They backed that up with Florida State. I want to get to that here in just a second, because I do think Louisville lost any benefit of the doubt for a fan to think now after the bye week that they're systematically going to be some different team.
Right.
I could see in the Boston College game, Boston College going right down the field and scoring in 9 plays and going 65 yards. I mean, that wouldn't be shocking to anybody. To me, the narrative with Louisville fans is the reality that's smacking them in the face, guys, that they're not who they thought they were going to be when they got into the ACC.
Yeah.
and it's starting to bring up the ghosts of what was missed by not capitalizing on Lamar Jackson, whether that be recruiting, whether that be coaching. I mean, Lamar left and Bobby was done.
Yeah.
It was done. Okay, there was no continuity. There was no bringing that to the next staff to get a bunch of recruits. You thank God Malik is here. But where Louisville is where they are. You are what your record is. We talked about that in hour number one. We can't remember who said it. It was Bill Parcells. And that is what they are now. They are a mediocre team doing mediocre things, unable to get you a full game, players doing mediocre things, coaches doing mediocre things, and you just get it spits out some of the performances that you've got now. And they've lost the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I thought after they beat Central Florida, it was a gift. You hung on against Florida State. But
you have life.
There is life to the season. And I'm not sure there's life to the season. I mean, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a collapse like Bobby Petrino. But that doesn't mean that I'm just automatically writing you in a bowl game. Listen, I still think they get to 6 wins.
Yeah.
But I want to be clear. I am not on this show going to give you BS that a 6-6 bowl game means anything to me. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not going to fall for the PR. I'm not going to fall for the spin. I'm not going to fall for any of it. It does not matter to me. The big picture view of where Louisville football is and where they are supposed to be is not some low-level bowl. I'm not asking Scott Satterfield in year number 3 to be the best team in the ACC. That is far from it. People around here are not asking him to be that. They're not asking him to be a 10 win, to win 10 games. They're not even asking this year to win 8 or 9 games, I would argue.
Yeah.
Fans around here not only are tired of losing, they're tired of not being any different than all of these middle of the road, whatever, ACC teams. Virginia, Boston College. I'm not even mentioning, okay, Clemson, Georgia Tech,
Wake
Pittsburgh.
Forest.
I mean, Wake Forest is a top 25 team.
Undefeated, and they're not.
That's my biggest issue. Is I believe, as I look at the Louisville fan today, that they are starting to realize, they are finally starting to realize that we're not ACC TakeOver.
No.
And it's not even that you're knocking on the door. You ain't close right now. That defense front 7 is not good enough to play with anyone that's worth too much. I'm sorry, that's just the way that it is. That's just the way that it is. They can't get to the quarterback, and then when they drop 7 or 8, they can't cover anybody. So you can't cover anybody. You can't rush the quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
I'm a New York Giants fan. I saw it yesterday with the Dallas Cowboys. You can't get to the quarterback and CeeDee Lamb's wide open. You lose the game, you allow 40 points. It's easy. It's easy math. And that is where they are. They have lost the benefit of the doubt. I am a firm believer that Scott Satterfield will be back next year. I've been on the record and continue today that I think he can win 4 games. I mean, that'd be one. I may have to change that. Because that would be one more game the rest of the way. That might not be it. I might.
You've got Duke and Syracuse still on that schedule.
I might have to come off that and say 5. I think I'm having to change that now. And maybe that's what happened over the weekend. We talked about Boston College coming up after the bye week, and we talked about this past weekend that those two games, the Virginia game, were 50-50 games.
Yeah.
At home, that you got to get these games so you're not fighting to make a bowl. I mean, you know what's going to happen. They're going to get to 5 wins and have to get to 6 to play Kentucky, and they're not going to do it.
That's
a nightmare scenario.
That's the scenario.
You would rather be four wins. You would rather go into the Kentucky game with four wins than five. Not close.
Because I've been on that side of things
close.
Twice, and it sucks.
Not even close.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun at all.
Because the narrative will be, if you're four wins, there won't be any, there will be, not that it would be heartbreak to me, but there'll be a number of fans and a number of PR machines that are out there that will say, you beat Kentucky, you got to six games. Hey, Satterfield's got momentum going. What I'm saying is, he has no momentum going.
I mean, listen,
and he has. I mean, think about this. Malik's got better. They've cut down on turnovers. The offensive line has got better. Running backs look capable enough. Young weapons, wide receivers look capable enough. You'll continue to add to that. Those are all things that they weren't such a disaster on the defensive side of the ball that we could praise a little bit.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, and of course, he would need to go out and get a bunch more quarterback players.
Well, yeah.
Now, in that mix, someone, I think it was our buddy Harold, talked about the offense. Much like Wake Forest, everyone let the entire team off because of some sketchy officiating. It was a close game. They're a top 25 team, Andy. It's on the road.
It's on the road.
Don't you understand? It's on the road.
Yeah.
And so all week we didn't analyze any of that. I do agree to a certain extent. I think even though I am of the belief that the defense wasn't good enough, for me it's not even the defense in that game wasn't good enough. It's just I don't like anything they do.
Nothing. There's not a positive thing the defense did.
I don't like anything that they do.
Or has done.
But the offense also had opportunity to end the game.
And they did not end the game.
And it's okay to say that. It doesn't mean
we're not dismissing the offense of how good Malik Cunningham's been.
They settled for field goals.
Yeah.
Scott Satterfield decided, and this is him kicking that field goal to go up six is an ancient way of thinking. It's an ancient way of thinking there.
It's not the way football is going right now.
Is how I view it. If you watch the NFL at all on Sunday.
It's fourth down, we're going.
I mean, fourth down now, it's becoming commonplace that you're at the 37-yard line, that's the way you're going to go.
You saw that against Arkansas and Ole Miss. I mean, that entire game, Sam Pittman and Lane Kiffin were going for it on fourth down. Almost like every fourth down, if they were on the plus side of the field or close to it, I mean, they were going for it.
The game ended because Arkansas went for two.
Yeah, they went for two. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right, yeah.
Third quarter, it's third and four. They get a yard. It's fourth and three. They kick a field goal. I'm saying that's, again, there's an example of you did have a chance late third quarter. Fourth quarter, first possession, three plays, 5 yards, a minute off the clock. That's when you're down 10. Not good enough. Another one of those Satterfield second along, second to 10. He's going to run, okay?
Yeah, run the ball.
I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah.
It's now 30-27 after another score. Three plays, 4 yards. I mean, the offense went 6 plays, 9 yards in 3.5 minutes when the comeback was on.
Took no time off the clock at all.
The point is, it's what do they say with Jesus, B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after death?
Yeah.
Is that there was a cut in this game.
Right.
Okay, there was a line of demarcation, if you will,
there you go.
In this game that the offense did enough and that it stopped. It did enough yards and points-wise, and then it stopped. The offense did need to do more. Parts of the game. The defense needed to do more.
The entire game.
Much more of the game.
Yeah, the entire game, really.
Much more of the game. Plus, at this point, the narrative is how bad this defense is. And I mentioned Kentucky basketball last year. The analysis of that team, it won 9 games. We were totally wrong.
Absolutely.
And our analysis preseason-wise of this defense was as bad from us, from them, from everybody. The talk around this defense was just so bleeping wrong. And it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
By the way, the offense is better. I thought the offense...
It's way better than we thought.
I didn't think that it was... Like, I didn't know that some of the playmakers I look at and say, yeah, Louisville's got some playmakers.
They do.
But there was opportunities there. 6 plays... 9 yards, 3 minutes off the clock. It's then it goes 30-27. Louisville drives down. It's the 4th and 5 that everybody's talking about, and there you go.
But
I mean, my biggest problem there was it's 2nd and long again with 2 minutes to go, and in predictable run.
Right.
You run, you get in 3rd and long, you put yourself in a position that Scott Satterfield at this point doesn't trust his offense, and leading by 6. Now, we can make fun of him, but Curran said this on Sunday, and I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get the sound out, but I agree with him that being down 6 adds urgency. And I know that. Giants won the Super Bowl in 2007. They need to go score a touchdown.
Right.
And it changes the way you play. I saw it yesterday in the Packers-Bengals game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even at the highest level of the NFL, there is that fail-safe in the back of your mind that says field goal. And Virginia didn't have to deal with that. And now that we have, again, we're armed with hindsight. We know they lost the game. We know Virginia converts a couple 4th downs.
They did, yeah.
I mean, that drive was ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you're Satterfield, it's absolutely ridiculous. But that's small picture. What does it mean for this season, the game itself, the 4th and 5? But big picture, where this team is in the trenches, where this team is on a linear, like, who's next at quarterback, and are they going to be ready? This team not only recruiting, but recruiting Power 5 guys. That's what Kentucky did. That's what you need to do. It's fine that Alcorn State and Keytrell Clark coming from Liberty have been good players for you. But many teams, here's what always kills me. And I'm guilty of this as well. I look at my team and I'm like, wow, you know, this player's good and that player's good and this guy can get to the quarterback and a couple good wide receivers there. And everyone has that. So when Louisville fans
right.
say, well, Monty Montgomery's hurt, I'm like, and if he were in, it would be a difference. But everyone's got
a Monty Montgomery on their team.
Many of them do.
Just but, you need like 4 Monty
yes,
Montgomery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need more than
exactly.
one Monty Montgomery.
Well, Kentucky's
yes.
had to run into that on their front 7 in their defensive line. Which is the depth of that is now I believe too much. We can disagree. We can get into that at some point. We got a long week to get into that
sure.
game. But big picture, who they're going after, and this is not local kids. I'm going to let Blankenbaker and Rummage and guys that are passionate about that deal with that. But who they're getting in the program, the money that goes into the program, the level of assistants that are in the program, what their recruiting looks like, who they're getting from other, you know, I mean, Jaquez Jones and Dare Rosenthal.
They've been really good for Kentucky.
Those are big pickups, and I'm not saying you got to go necessarily get them, but we, you know, around here, it seems like, oh, yeah, there's a kid from, you know, Alcorn State. I'm like,
Georgia Southern.
We don't. I'm sorry. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What I'm supposed to say to that?
Or think
We've
about it.
We've never seen Georgia Southern play football. I'm sorry. What am I supposed to do with that? And all of these things start to add up, and in the end, you lose because they had more playmakers than you. Texas says Satterfield plays polite football.
There's some, if you want to encapsulate Scott Satterfield in a text, that's a good way to do it. Well, I mean, we built into our analysis, Andy, last week, the pauses they have on offense. We talked about they had pauses on offense against UCF, right? And UCF had an opportunity to win the game. They had pauses against Florida State. They made it interesting in the second half. They had pauses against Wake Forest, and that's what ended up beating them. You know, bad defense, too. And again, defense is the main culprit, but you can't ignore the pauses. You can't ignore that in the fourth quarter, they only scored 3 points. Like, they've been scoring points, they've been scoring touchdowns all game long, but fourth quarter, Satterfield had a lapse in his brain. When he needed to score touchdowns, they scored 3 points. You cannot, and I understand what Ennis is saying, the offense has been the bright spot, but you can't ignore these momentary lapses in Scott Satterfield and him not calling plays to extend drives, to draw
like
out the clock more.
7-3 games in a row now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we built that analysis in. Like I said last week, we're all waiting for that point in the game where the offense takes a nap. and the offense took a nap in the wrong time of the game at the very end where they had to get production, had to get points, had to run time off the clock, and the offense decides to stop working. I don't know if it's Satterfield or players or
no
what
idea.
It is, but there's always a specific spot in the game where the offense just disappears, and they cannot afford that with this team.
That's what mediocre teams do. They're not going to give you a full game. They're going to give you 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
We talk about this in basketball 5 minutes. All the time.
Sure, yeah.
By the way, I can't wait to Ohio State just pummels it.
Yeah, they put that on prime time.
I
hope they win that 59-0.
Did you see that 66 burger they put up this weekend?
On Maryland. Well, you see, I feel more encouraged by that because I'm doing the thing now where I just want them to get to 6 wins and make a bowl. And to do that, they need to beat Maryland.
Well, so you're a Louisville fan.
Yes.
To a bowl.
No, Indiana fans have been, we're the experts at that.
Right.
We've been for decades.
Yeah.
And you know what? Most of the time, we don't get to 6 wins in the bowl. So.
No, you're not going to. So there
you
go.
All we need to do is beat Maryland, Minnesota, and Rutgers.
We're not doing any more IU. It's over.
The IU analysis has left.
It's over. It's done.
Did you realize they had to beat?
Texas says you can't recruit Power 5 guys when 30,000 show up in a 60,000-person stadium. Then don't build a stadium that's been too big the entire time you've had it.
That hasn't been talked about enough, I feel like.
I don't want to hear it. Why would you show up to this?
No, I'm saying why would you expand the stadium in the first place when it didn't need to be expanded?
I don't want to hear if Satterfield had big time recruits, it would be different, but he doesn't on campus.
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid to even mention.
Because it's not like, it's not like he's in contact with big time recruits that were like, I want a big time atmosphere.
It's silly.
The guys he's recruiting aren't big time recruits. He's not even going after them, really.
The guys that he's getting are wowed by what Louisville can offer them.
Because they're not seeing it from
not seeing it from Toledo.
Exactly. Or Ohio or whoever.
Great example. Yesterday I was in the press box at the Bengals-Packers game. And I was like, I met a couple people. I was like, yeah, I'm from Louisville. And one guy goes, hey, I like Satterfield. And I go, okay.
Do you?
I go, yeah. But he was like, I thought I did a good job at App State. I'm like, yeah, but, I might only win, 7-ish games, 6-ish games.
Right.
And he looked at me funny, this gentleman did. And he goes, does Louisville not understand that's what they are in football?
Oh.
And I go, welcome to my show. That's exactly what I said.
Andy.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, I go, well, yeah. He's like, well, that's just who you are. If you win seven, that's not a bad
this
season.
Music to my ears because for years we've been told that we're college football powers. That we're like, they keep talking about the damn Sugar Bowl. They keep talking about the Orange Bowl that happened when I was in college. And they act like that is something that people still remember. So like Blankenbaker's tweet, this is not Louisville football, dude. It is.
Unfortunately, it is.
I'm sorry, it is.
Right now, that's what you are.
Yeah, that's what people think. People not from Louisville, that's how they view you.
But Louisville fans now realize it. That's my point to all of this.
Yeah, waking up.
There is an awakening here that you've been through the Bobby mess, and you know deep down you underachieved with Lamar Jackson, okay?
Yeah.
And then you had the fallout, and then you got Satterfield, and you're tired of patting Satterfield on the head for being a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm loving this team, and all
that's
shucks.
What he's been good at has been the culture thing. You're tired of that. You want wins. It gets expedited because Kentucky's having such a good season, and you're tired of it, and you just want wins.
Yeah.
And it's a bottom-line business, and they're not getting wins. And they're not losing to big time teams.
They're losing to Virginia,
Wake Forest, and Virginia, and I think they're going to lose to Boston College.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing. This program, and I said this in hour number one, 437-9680. It's the Take on ESPN 680-1057, 437-9680. Has been through decades of trying to earn respect. And Louisville fans are very sensitive to not getting respect. This is my read of the situation. You would agree with this, I know. Of not getting respect. And so when they see how tenuous of a situation it can be, a coach leaves, you don't have the depth, it's a couple players, whatever it may be, and suddenly you're not as good.
Yeah.
And you get no respect, and you're on RSN, and you're on streams, and no one is caring
or
talking about your job or whatever it may be. They're like, yo, this is difficult to attain it has been decades of us working through various conferences.
Various coaches.
Sometimes having a seat at the table. Oftentimes being undermanned and not having a seat at the table. That we don't want to give this away. Listen, Kentucky, if they lost Mark Stoops, it would be the same thing.
It would, 100%.
If Stoops lost all of his assistants, it would be the exact same thing. You see, when this happens, Cal just went through it. I mean, he had to go move things.
Move two guys around and bring his buddy Orlando Antigua back with his buddy around. Tim.
But Louisville fans understand underdog. And then they've got to, not the mountaintop, because A, it's a stupid saying, and B, they've never won, you know, they won a championship, but they have felt the drug of college football.
Yeah.
And if you bleep with that, like, this ain't Alabama where they think they can just go get any coach. If you bleep with that, Louisville fans are going to have a short fuse, and they're not going to go to games, and they're going to want you gone. And that's where we are.
Yeah.
That's where they see the fact that at one point they had respect. At one point, when people talked about the teams in the next however many years that could take a run and make a run at Clemson, Louisville was somewhere on that list ahead of Virginia and Boston College, and now they're not. Now they're one of them.
Yeah.
When I say Boston College in Virginia, I throw Louisville in there too. You're effing with what they've built and tried to accomplish and earn over decades of being undermanned, of being underrated,
yeah,
of not having a seat at the table, of being the small guy that could go out and get some coaches at big-time programs and get a guy like Teddy Bridgewater and be able to recruit through the cracks and all of that other stuff. And now you're bleeping with it. Now you're not getting those guys. Get your ass and get in Florida. Get in Florida. Go get the kid at Mayo who's a four-star that was at Kentucky. Kentucky, by the way, pushing your teeth in recruiting.
Yeah.
Your front seven is not good. Do better. You cannot win. This is not Boone, North Carolina. You cannot win with half a team. You cannot win with half a team. And that's what they're dealing with.
Not only that, I mean, you talk, I know we need to take a break, but we talk about NFL guys, too. Like Charlie Strong was putting guys in the NFL on defense and on offense.
That's
and, exactly.
The Bobby guys are gone.
Yeah. Like, they remember how that felt. They remember on that NFL draft night, like, oh, there goes, you know, Sheldon Rankins, and there goes Jair Alexander, and there goes Teddy Bridgewater, and, you know, Devontae Parker, naming all these guys off. That's gone. That's gone, too. That's part of the picture. You're not putting guys in the league anymore.
It's clear.
This is why you're not putting guys in the league.
The analysis is simple. At some positions, Louisville doesn't have guys. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes it like we with the Calipari stuff and rolling the ball out there, we like to confuse things a lot. It comes down to, do you have players?
Right. Yeah.
More so than not. Scheme and coaches and everything else can only go so far. Do you have players? And the answer is a resounding no. At this point, Louisville football, you thought, would be above some of these teams, and they are not. And it is clear that they are not. And so now Louisville fans, and now Louisville is going to have to do the thing that Kentucky's been dealing with. Now, it's going to be much easier for Louisville, you would imagine, because you're in the ACC, even though you don't try like Kentucky does at recruiting.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same, okay? Especially in the trenches. I mean, come on, please.
That's not even a contest.
We're going to put third stringers in. We're going to see that on the Kentucky side, and we're going to see Louisville have first and second stringers, not as good as Kentucky's third stringers. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't know where I was going. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Repeating myself.
You're on a roll there.
You would have thought by now that it would be clear that you're better than these teams. And with Bobby Petrino and Lamar Jackson, you were squeaking by Virginia, and with Lamar Jackson, and now he's gone, and you don't have that. And I mean, you see the results.
Well, the narrative was, you know, be the third best team in the Atlantic Division season in and season out, and every once in a while you'll get up on Florida State or you'll get up on Clemson, and that is no longer the narrative. You're not the third best team in the Atlantic Division. You're not close to
division
as second.
Isn't nearly as
it
good as
sucks.
It used to be.
Clemson's terrible. Florida State's awful.
The ACC's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if they make a bowl game, yeah. I don't want to even use that as a litmus test because I just don't care. But whatever they end up, I mean, can you imagine what those wins are going to look like?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be EKU. It's going to be Florida State.
Duke and Syracuse.
And then maybe one more.
And Louisville loses to Florida State if they play him this week, next week.
Or
with Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
Or with Jordan Travis, who, by the way, was the top quarterback in the ACC or maybe the country over the weekend in, like, efficiency.
Yeah.
In some sort of – I think they lose that game. And so you could end up with a crap Florida State win, an EKU win, maybe a Syracuse win, a Duke win.
Central Florida.
Central Florida, what have they done with Dylan Gabriel being injured? I mean, they
beat East Carolina.
Okay, well, there you go.
By, like, 6 points or something.
There you go. Yeah,
that badass offense.
Yeah,
he's gone like 2014.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn.
Yeah,
he's so good. come on, please. Let's take a break. 437-9680. Quick break. We'll wrap up the show. Play some sound. Have some fun. Maybe a little Kentucky will get you into your night. It's a Monday. It's the Take on 680.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Vince, I know they're just polls, and, you know, media polls are what they are, but yesterday the team was picked to finish sixth in the division. Were you surprised? What was your initial reaction? What did you think about that?
And James Strebel.
We should have been picked first.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, we're back on The Take. Andy Sweeney had to run out real quick. I don't know if he had a bathroom break or a phone call he needed to make or what. But it's the next few minutes anyway, it's me, James Strebel. Got Jack Grossman fresh back from Juarez, Mexico and Texas, and an awesome-sounding wedding. So we got you here till the end of the show. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Hit us up there. We've done a lot of Louisville talk today. And as Andy said earlier in the show.
You just want to talk about your cats, don't you?
Look, I'm fine with talking about all these bad things happening to Louisville. It's not like I'm disappointed. Look, I'm in a win-win situation here, Jack. You know what I'm saying? It would be a little more difficult for me if Louisville was winning because I wouldn't want to talk about that. He'd be like, I've got to talk about Louisville winning football games. But I'm in a great spot. We can talk Kentucky. That's all positive right now. It's all good stuff. They're 6-0. They just clapped LSU pretty badly on Saturday. Or we can talk about Louisville peeing down their leg in the fourth quarter and letting left-handed Brennan Armstrong come in and just throw down the field play after play after play. I'm okay with talking about that, too. But we talked a lot about Louisville today because, obviously, as Andy said at the beginning of the show, if it bleeds, it leads. You talk about the team that's in a bad spot because the fans are rowdy. They're angry. They're upset. It's definitely driving the conversation on the Kentucky side. We'll get more into Kentucky this week as we get closer to Georgia. I mean, the analysis for Kentucky on Saturday was there's Scotty D, there's Coach. The analysis for Kentucky on Saturday was as follows. They did whatever they wanted to do to LSU in the trenches, both offensively and defensively, when you talk about offensive line, defensive line. And then Will Levis became a quarterback on Saturday. It's the best that he's looked since ULM, but we discount ULM because we should. That's a bad football team. You're able to do sexy, exciting things against bad football teams. So the question was, what have you done for me lately, Will? And I've been pretty harsh and critical on Will Levis. I've been pretty, that's been one of the things that I've been pivoting against BBN. I didn't think he'd been playing very well, and honestly, Jackie hasn't. But when he has a game like he did on Saturday, where he not only throws for three touchdowns, but also runs for two. It sees the versatility of Will Levis and what his running attack can do for Kentucky. It opens things up.
So the question becomes, and not so much of Georgia's, I just think Georgia's a different animal.
They are. They're a different beast.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not expecting Will Levis to really do anything against Georgia. I'm just not. But that's why
game's so difficult to talk about, but go ahead.
Yeah, but for the rest of the season, though, can he do that consistently when you're playing the Mississippi States, the Louisvilles, the Tennessee?
Teams that
have very beatable defenses.
That's a fair question, because we've seen Kentucky have to eke out some wins against less talented teams.
South Carolina, Chattanooga.
Yeah, those two, you know, you look at those two specifically, even against Florida. I mean, Will Levis did not have a good game against Florida.
Yeah, they won that game in spite of Will Levis.
Exactly. They won that game because of A, the defense was lights out, and B, Kentucky's offensive line was able to lean on Florida late and run the ball and run the clock. And we kept talking about Pascal blocking, and then Trevon Wallace being able to run that back for a touchdown. All of those things are true. So the Will Levis emergence that we saw on Saturday, is it sustainable? That's why, Jack, it's so difficult to talk about the Georgia game, because we know what Georgia is. So what are the expectations for Kentucky? It's like when we talked about the beginning of the season with Louisville, you just kind of have to play it out and go week by week and see what those expectations are and adjust them throughout the season. So far, Kentucky's exceeded their expectations. Kentucky's exceeded expectations. Now it's difficult to talk about Georgia because we know what they are. And then it's going to be difficult as we go through the week, like set expectations for Kentucky against Georgia. How do we go about doing that? And that'll matriculate, and that'll come together, I think. Yeah, he's back. Andy's back. That'll matriculate to go as the week continues.
It's easy to do that. You're the 11th team in the country.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, go be the 11th team in the country.
Well, and Arkansas was the 7th or 8th team in the country. And they got 37 to nothing.
Yeah. It's just the expectations, I guess, is what we're talking about. But I made this comparison.
What are your expectations?
My expectations are go and play a damn good football
game. Well, there you go.
Damn good football game. And don't look overmatched. Don't look overmatched. That's the expectation for me. Go play a good football team and a good football game, and don't look like you just don't belong in there at all.
Texas says Brennan Armstrong was working fools.
He was. I mean, he was out there slinging the ball.
Texas says Denny Crum always said better players make you a better coach.
Better players are making Mark Stoops look like a better coach right now.
Texas says, hey, Strieble, we rolled through the Tigers. Let's go, big boy. Bring on the dogs.
I'm not there yet with, like, bring on the dog. They rolled through LSU 100%.
Wasn't Joe Burrow's LSU.
It wasn't, exactly. It wasn't Joe Burrow's LSU. And by God, they just, I mean, when Butte went down and he's out for the rest of the season.
Butte.
It's like that was it. That was done. They're done. And Orgeron's done. After Saturday, that team's done. They might win three games the rest of the way.
They did what they were supposed to do.
Kentucky did what they should have done on Saturday.
That was the takeaway. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they crushed it.
They were the better team, and they showed it.
No, they were. Kentucky was impressive on Saturday.
They were impressive.
They just didn't go through the motions and win a game. Where you're like, well, you know, they could go through the motions and play a B-minus game, C-plus game, and win. Oh, they did much more than that.
No, they played an A-plus game for the first time all season.
An A-plus.
They did. For the first time all season.
They gave a grade out. They got an A-plus.
So they wasted their A-plus the week before Georgia.
Well, that's when you want to do it.
That's when you want to do it.
Yeah, you can play your C game.
Yeah, I guess LSU. But it was fun watching them play A-plus football.
A couple different things. Number one, Bruce Pearl in the stands there at Auburn, yes, Georgia, with no shirt on. Bruce Pearl always...
with Cam Newton.
Always creepy old guy.
Yeah, kind of like...
Have you seen the video?
I have seen the video.
Okay, have you seen the video?
Yeah, you sent it to me on Saturday.
Who's the girl?
A friend.
That's number one.
I don't know Bruce's friend, or maybe it's Cam Newton's friend.
No, that was she was there with those were recruits, right?
Oh, gotcha.
I don't know. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Was it student section? I don't know. I just assumed it was recruits.
I thought it was student section.
Is that, okay. So I thought it was like someone around Bruce Pearl.
I would take Cam Newton to the recruits.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you take Cam Newton over there.
They know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Also, Did you see the video? It's Seth Small, I believe is his name, who's the kicker there for Texas A&M with the game winner. Did you see, have either one of you seen this where the family's watching him kick that?
No, I didn't
you
see that.
You haven't seen that? Neither one of you?
I didn't see the video, no.
You go see it. Yeah.
I saw the Alabama radio call where they just sit there and don't say anything for 35 seconds.
That's great.
They didn't even call the kick. Like I was going to dub it over, but like it would just be hearing crowd noise.
It's just silence. Yeah.
They do not call the kick.
Yeah, but anyway, the kid that kicked it, I don't know how long of a field goal it was, honestly. I was time traveling Saturday night at this point. But they got, like, I would assume his girlfriend and then family and everyone, and they're like emotional beyond belief.
Like crying, weeping and everything. I didn't see that. I was on Twitter yesterday a lot too, obviously.
The NHL, I guess, is coming back here.
Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
I don't know, is that tonight or tomorrow or something like that? And you know, a bunch of games are going to be on ESPN now. The last time the NHL was on ESPN was 2004.
2004.
The number one song then was "Burn" by Usher.
Oh, I remember that song. Yeah, yeah.
The Detroit Pistons just won the NBA championship.
Ben Wallace and the crew. Yep. All right, there we go.
And the number one movie was Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
That's the movie number three.
How about that?
Book three. Wow, it does seem. Do you see? Apparently, Justin Bieber is going to be like performing for NHL opening night or something.
Is he really?
Yes, he's a Canadian. They got to show some love for hockey. Yeah, there you go.
I guess that's
Justin Bieber, yeah.
And my other thing that I wrote on here, I can't. Oh, here it is. Did you see the old guy get punched out by another old guy at the Chiefs
game? Yes, I did see that.
So you did see that.
I did see that. That was great, yes.
Okay, so did you not see this, Jack? So Jack hasn't seen
Chiefs
this.
Chiefs on Chiefs crime.
It's a very – the guy videoing it was a split second too late. So you can just kind of see the end of the punch, and then the guy goes down, and he's just like laying there like, ah, he's just like laying there, and like someone's holding his head.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't that hurt, but the guy that got punched threw water or a water bottle on somebody. The guy that threw the water and got punched is a super fan for the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Named X-Factor.
X-Factor, huh?
His name's X-Factor. And I text Jason, and Jason said he's a piece of bleep.
Oh,
but
really?
They always find him on TV.
And show him, because he's like that guy.
Yeah, that he's that. So I guess he threw water on someone, and some old man punched him out.
So how sad is Jason Anderson? I mean, his Chiefs losing football games.
I don't know.
I mean, Pat Mahomes looking like a normal quarterback, not a Superman.
Boo-hoo.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they figured out Pat Mahomes.
They figured out Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes in the same season.
Don't get me going on Andy Reid. Don't even get me going.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of my least favorite coaches. Texas says, does Strieble do a Bruce Pearl at his school's games?
No.
That's a great question.
No.
Would you?
I'm not going shirtless anywhere. No.
That was a lie.
No, it's
Mexico,
not a lie.
Mexico, you will.
Yeah, I'm talking because I'll be on a beach and by a pool. I'm not going to a ball game and taking off my shirt. Like, I'm not
Bruce
doing that.
Bruce Pearl's the shirt-off guy. Like, that's his move.
He's got, like, a good enough body to wear. I mean, it's not a great body, but for his age, it's not bad.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's a great body for his age. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly. So he feels comfortable popping those pecs.
you know
what I mean?
Yes, he does.
I was disappointed he wasn't painted this time. He usually paints himself orange or blue or whatever.
Texas says, does Bruce Pearl do roids? I don't know.
He's rich. He probably has a personal trainer. He didn't even do roids. He's a personal trainer. He gets trained every day by whoever that is.
Well, you're alleging that he has a personal trainer because we don't know if that's true or not.
No, I would assume if you make that much money,
right?
You probably have a personal trainer. I would.
Last thing here. Does Strieble have an opinion on Columbus Day?
Indigenous Peoples Day. That's what today is.
I guess that's the opinion.
I was going to say, just let it sit, Jack. I was going to let him sit. Yeah. Do you have an opinion on that?
I prefer to call it Indigenous Peoples Day.
Some people were out of school.
Some people were out of school.
And I appreciate your school being in school.
We were in school.
Tell the archdiocese that, or the principal, or whoever does that, tell them that I appreciate that.
Yes, and there's government buildings were shut down today.
Why?
Because it's a national holiday.
There you
it's
go.
Columbus Day, which I don't agree with, but, you know, I don't like it.
Texas says, is Big Rig secretly taking caller Emily to Mexico?
No, I'm going with my wife. We got the days and everything. We're ready to roll.
Are you stopping by Juarez in Mexico?
No.
No, we're going to Cancun.
Yeah,
we're
going to, I know that.
Yeah.
We're
going deep into Mexico.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. Bonus hour next. Scotty D's over on 93.9 The Ville. We'll be happier. Maybe tomorrow. So we'll do that. It's a take on ESPN 680.